This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, so we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that the Holy Spirit has to you as a believer. And I don't know of a more important thing that, practically speaking, that you can understand, because there's so much confusion today about the Holy Spirit in the church, and everything from people misunderstanding when he comes into your life and how he relates to you and what the filling means, which we've talked about in a previous podcast, to people calling him an it, you know, the Holy Spirit, or worse, the Holy Ghost, which is just, oh my God, I think of Casper the Ghost is when people talk, always say that. But, and by the way, that was used because in 1611, when the King James Bible was translated, the word for spirit was ghost in their English language. So, you know, just meant something different to them. Anyway, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. So we had talked about the Old Testament, the relationship that believers had with the Holy Spirit. Then we talked about the promise that Christ made about the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples, the 120 that were following Jesus at that time, by the way, that's not a mega church, but anyway, yet. But so what Jesus did was he told them to go to Jerusalem. They did, and they were in this upper room, and something happened in the upper room. I'm going to read to you what happened here. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, when you look at that passage, obviously the whole speaking in tongues thing, I'm sure everybody knows somebody who claims to be a part of this or believe in speaking in tongues and that type of thing. I've been to many churches that practice this, not overtly, but who believe this, and they base it, begin their foundation of this belief in Acts chapter 2. But let's look at what the passage actually says, and we find out what the Holy Spirit's really up to here. It says in verse 5, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. So Jews had come to the Feast of Pentecost from many, many different regions. I see in this passage alone, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. There are tons and tons of regions across the world, the known world at that time, where the Jews had gathered. Think of some international festival, okay? This is what's going on, although they're all Jews, okay? And they're in Jerusalem. It says, when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because this next phrase explains the entire gift of tongues. Because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language, the language of their country of origin. So you look up at verse 4. You see the phrase other tongues. I wonder what other tongues means. Skip down two verses. His own language. So the first thing we can establish from this, and this all relates to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the fact that we get the Holy Spirit, is that God supernaturally enabled those believers to speak in languages, in known languages, that they had never been trained in or understood before. It was a supernatural gifting, so that they could tell them about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, to these Jews. Because we know from Romans chapter 1 and verse 16-17 that the gospel comes to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. We know that that Jesus told them that they'll be his witnesses first in where? Jerusalem. Well, that's where Jews come. And so the first thing we know is about this gift of tongues, this Holy Spirit supernaturally enabling a gift of tongues, is that it enabled them to speak in his own language. Now then it says, verse 7, And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born?" Then it tells you what languages: Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Then it says, for the third time, we hear them in our own language, our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Now, from that passage and the repetition and the clear explanation of that passage, there is zero room for a believer to claim that this gift of tongues is some sort of ecstatic babbling or gibberish or some private prayer language. This historical event that God dictated for the birth of the church enabled the gospel to move forward. So it was gospel-related, the mighty deeds of God. It's not just saying, oh, he made the Red Sea cross. No, he was talking about the mighty deeds of God and sending the Messiah. And the second thing is that there were Jews. And there's no evidence in the New Testament of anyone speaking in tongues to anyone other than a Jew. And it's speaking to them, okay? Now, there are other passages that we could look at at another time, but when you look at 1 Corinthians, like over in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, listen to this. This explains the gift of tongues even further. And this is the reason I say this, because the gift of tongues comes from the Holy Spirit, okay? So watch this. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Wonder what that would mean. You're immature, you're selfish, you're using a gift for your own edification. That's what he's talking about here. He says, because in the law it was written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Now watch this, verse 22. So then, here's Paul's conclusion. The Apostle Paul concluded here. So then tongues are for a sign. That's right. Tongues are a sign gift, a supernatural sign gift. There's three kinds of spiritual gifts. There's sign gifts, there's speaking gifts, and there's serving gifts. And those are the three kinds of gifts. And this one is a supernatural sign gift. Now look what he says here, verse 22. So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe. So the gift of tongues has zero to do with the church. It has zero to do with your personal relationship with God. It has zero to do with your sanctification. It has zero to do with your prayer life. Zero. It's not for believers. But it says, but for unbelievers, to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but those who believe. So what he's saying here is simply that this supernatural gift of tongues that was given at the day of Pentecost, and it was practiced in the early church as a sign to Jewish unbelievers. And here's why God did that, by the way. If you're a Jewish person, for a couple of thousand years, you've been thinking, we got God on our side. We got the truth. We got the Bible. We got all this stuff. I mean, God didn't do anything outside of the Jews. We're in the club here, right? So when their Messiah came to them, and they rejected their Messiah. In fact, they did more than reject their Messiah. They delivered him up to be crucified. And they committed, some of them, the blasphemy against who? The Holy Spirit, which is an unforgivable sin. I've talked about that in a previous podcast. But when that happened, Jesus said, all right, I'm going to go to the Gentiles and I'm going to do a new thing among the Gentiles. And when I do a new thing among the Gentiles, you Jews are going to go, that ain't God. That ain't God. It's just a Gentile thing. You're just doing one of those Samaritan hybrid religion things, you know? That's not the real God. That's a knockoff. That's what they're going to say. So in order for God to legitimize this new thing called the church, in which eventually Jews and Gentiles will be a part of, God had to give those early Christian Jews a supernatural gifting that could not be explained any other way other than this is of God. And that was to be the convincing proof to the unbelieving Jews that God had inaugurated a new covenant, a new testament, a new agreement with his people through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that the old things were irrelevant in terms of your salvation, because Christ has inaugurated a new way through his body on the cross. So it was to convince them that this supernatural gift, through this supernatural gifting, that this was really of God, so that they would come to God, because God wanted to reach the Jews, right? And the second thing was, it was to make them jealous. And, you know, when the Jews saw that God was doing something among the Gentiles, and they had previously had God on their side, it made them kind of think, hey, wait a minute, we need to get on board here. We can't let them take it. You know, we got to be on board this thing and get into what God's doing. So that was the purpose of the gift of tongues. And God told the Corinthians, he says, you guys are abusing your gift. You're standing up. You're spouting off this stuff, and nobody knows what you're saying, because there aren't Jews present and no one's interpreting. So that was the supernatural gifting that the Holy Spirit gave the early church. So the first thing we need to understand, we talk about the Holy Spirit being inside of us at Pentecost, and that's where that all began, is that every Christian does not have these supernatural gifts. Some people have them. In fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he tells us that many of these supernatural giftings are going to naturally just kind of fade away. They're going to kind of lose their steam. They're going to die natural deaths. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because just like when a rocket is launched, you have that initial rocket booster, and that's very dramatic and very powerful and that kind of thing. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did with the supernatural sign gifts. In other words, he gave some people in the church the gift, the supernatural gift of prophecy, and there's kind of that's kind of a double-sided thing. You know, part of prophecy is just proclaiming the word of God. The other part of prophecy is to tell the future, which no one can really do, you know, on their own, right? Unless God is doing it through them. But he also gave some of them supernatural healing gifts. In other words, they had the ability, now pay very close attention to this, they had the ability to touch people or to speak at people at will, and those people are healed. Regardless of those people's faith, they had the ability to do that. And the true gift of healing is just simply a person just says, you're healed. That's what they had back then. If there were the gift of healing today, there would be no disease. You know why? Because people who had that gift would want to go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital and cure all those little kids of cancer. How come you never see a healer in those hospitals? How come you never see a healer in any hospitals? How come healers never go to doctor's offices? But these so-called healers always have their self-contained little environment where they're controlling the atmosphere. They're controlling everything. My friend, it's all a big deception. It's a satanic deception to get your money. That's the whole point of it. And to keep you dependent on them and to create an emotional codependency. But the biblical gift of healing was the ability to do that regardless. Now, so these supernatural sign gifts, the Bible says, are just going to fade away. Just like a car without an engine is just going to eventually coast to a stop. Now, how do we know that? 1 Corinthians 13. He's talking about, he's been talking about supernatural gifts, by the way, in chapter 12. He says, all are not apostles, all are not prophets, all are not teachers, all are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? Answer, no. So any person that ever tells you that in order to be a legitimate Christian or to be filled with the Spirit, you have to speak in tongues, they don't know their Bible. It says right here, do all speak in tongues? No. All do not interpret, do they? But he says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Oh, so there are greater gifts than the gifts of healing, supernatural gifts. So then he goes on to talk about this hypothetical in chapter 13 says, even if I could speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Then he goes down, talks about love, the love chapter. And then in the end, he says in verse 9, for we know in part now, and we prophesy in part now, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So there's been huge discussion on what the perfect is. Well, what is it's the Greek word teleos, just means completion. What is this completion that Paul is talking about here? That when the completion comes, we're not going to need these supernatural giftings. Well, he gives us an illustration here. In verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. Again, the idea of completion and maturity. I don't need the things that I needed when I was a child that got me through childhood now that I'm a man. And he's saying these supernatural gifts are like the things that the church needed in its infancy. Okay? But as the church grows in maturity and its relationship with God, her relationship with God, she no longer needs these things, right? He says, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know fully as I also have been known. But now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So what is this teleos? What is this completion? What is this perfection that Paul is talking about here? Well, there's a couple of foundational interpretations. The biggest interpretation is two biggies. One says it refers to the full completion of the church, which is at the rapture, when we are made like Christ. And so these things will die off as we lead up to that point. Now, that's a legitimate interpretation. It could be true. It doesn't give us a specific timeline on when these types of gifts will cease. By the way, you may have heard people say, are you a secessionist? That just simply means you believe that these gifts have ceased, okay? So that's one interpretation, that it refers to the perfection of the body of Christ at the rapture when we're made like Jesus. The second interpretation says that it's talking about the completion of the revelation of God, or the completion, the maturity of the church as she grows towards a completed revelation of God. And that would mean the close of the New Testament, the completion of the New Testament. In other words, when the last New Testament Bible book was written, which would be Revelation, then officially the church no longer needed those supernatural sign gifts. We're now into the second century now. And now what I want you to do is not point people to a healer. I want you to point people to the Word of God. Now, either one of those could be true. I tend to think that there's truth in both of them. That yes, as the church matured, she realized, don't really need that anymore. I'm dependent on the Word. And when the Word of God officially closed, there was really no more need for prophetic utterances. In other words, no more need for people to speak the future again. They haven't done it, by the way, since the first century with any accuracy. But also, you've got the Word of God. The Word of God tells us the future. So we don't need to know the future anymore because it's right here in the Word of God. So those supernatural gifts, I believe, have passed away. And you say, well, Jeff, you're saying that God could never speak through someone supernaturally? Let's say someone is, you know, on the mission field, or they're in Germany, and all of a sudden they're in a situation where they need to witness to someone in their own language. That couldn't happen? No, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But as a part of the gift package that God gives every church, no, it's not there. Just simply not there. And there are other, as the Bible says, greater gifts that the Holy Spirit is giving us. Now, with that in mind, let's see if we can back this whole claim up that every Christian gets the Holy Spirit when they get saved. Is there any justification for that biblically? I mean, can we prove that from the Bible? Or is there somewhere along the line, as the book of Acts says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. How do we relate that to what the Bible says over in Romans chapter 8, just to give you a little bit of a preview? We'll talk about that the next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. This is so much fun, isn't it? To just study the Word of God together and to go deep and to grow strong. And I am so honored that you would spend time listening to what God has to say through me and through His Word. God bless. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.